I'm going to pray and just briefly continue and share something that the Lord has laid on my heart. Let's pray. God, thank you for an absolute dependence upon you. Again, it's one of those cliche type of charismatic things to say sometimes, but I pray, Lord, for a true dependence on you. Lord, we can so easily fall into the trap of thinking that I can wing this, I can do that, I know how to do this, I know how to do that. I know how to do life, I know how to do Christianity, I don't know how to do family, I know how to do my work. I know these things, Lord. And so, Father God, we don't. We don't. We don't. If it's not for your grace and for your finger upon our lives, and for your grace, and for your love, of your Son, of your Spirit, of your Word, Lord, we're nothing. Like flowers of the field, we're here today, gone tomorrow, like nothing, dust. And so, God, bring our hearts back to a humble place, not a woe is me, self-bejammering the religious thing, but just an honest, humble place, a low place, a lowly place, so that we can truly see you, truly see ourselves, and that you can, through our lives, change the world. Help us to be truly salt and truly light. We're dependent upon you. And Lord, lastly, it's an inside-out thing. It's not something that is a cognitive thing. It's not something that the flesh necessarily likes or easily understands. But it's the Holy Spirit that helps us to see. So Holy Spirit, have your way. Have your way, have your way, have your way. Amen. So we kicked off the year just saying that this year the Lord will help us to live the kingdom from the inside out. You can very easily fake Christianity or try to fake Christianity. You can do the things, act the things, but yet if it's not happened on your inside, you might as well just leave it right there. Who's ever tried to argue with you or persuade you of something, but you know that and realize that they had no authority? And I'm not meaning this in a derogatory type of way, but you just sense, hey dude, you don't know what you're talking about. I had a fight like that with my kids on the way here. They're telling me their school is bigger than Sunningdale Primary. I'm like, you've got no idea what you're talking about. I know the numbers. I know the stats. Yeah, but this kid said and that kid said. Yeah, and we had a massive fight. And I'm like, but you've got no authority to speak. I know the people. I know Estelle DeVitt. I know what I'm talking about. So I got sucked into a fight with a 9-year-old. Praise God. Very mature. But I got so fed up with the fact that she thought that she can tell me. But sometimes you get people and you just like them, nyap, 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 but you realize that they have no clue what they're talking about. They've not gone through it. They've not lived it. They might be nyap, nyap, nyapping, but they're not living it. And in Christianity, man, it can be so easy. And I'm not coming from a high and lofty place saying, well, I've been around the block and hence I can. There is one or two places that I've been around the block and likewise you, but not everything. And I will very soon realize, I will very quickly see when I'm out of my depth and I have no idea what I'm talking about. And so, likewise, when we talk Christianity, there's a lot of yapping out there, but not much living. Lots of yapping, but not much living. I hope that makes sense. Yap is talk. Okay. Lots of talk, very little walk. And I've been caught in that trap. You might have been caught in that trap before. And so, we are trusting God. Before I want Stephen to live something, Lord, will you do it on his inside? Lord, before I trust that Retief must be a giver, Lord, will you come and show him giving in his heart? And as the Lord does that, as revelation comes, as he breaks through, we start living it. You know how challenging it is to get volunteers to do this, that, and the other in church? But yet, when God comes and he speaks, he changes your heart. And you want to do it, then it's so much easier to do kingdom. And I believe that's what the new covenant is. He said, you can't do it So I'll help you. So he gave us a set of rules in the old covenant. We couldn't do it. We tried to do it with the flesh. We tried to act rightly. We tried to not do this and not do that, not do this, not do that. Yet it didn't change anything. And in the new covenant, and you know the story, he came and he said, I will what? I will change your heart, renew your heart. And I will pour out my spirit. In other words, I'll do an inside-out job. So are you struggling with anything? Are you battling sin? Anybody? Anybody battling sin? All three of us, four of us? Hey, it's very holy, church. Yes, 70 of us battling sin. Who's ever battled sin for such a long time and then all of a sudden just clicks? Something just happens. It just happens. I'm not saying let's go on sinning until it happens. No, because then you're deceiving yourself. I'm not saying that. There's a part that we play. There's a crying out saying, God, I'm dependent. Help me out of this mess. And then there's a space where he says, hey, you're a new covenant kid. I've given you my spirit. Come on. I've given you my love. I've given you my affection. I've given you my truth. And then all of a sudden, the switch just goes on. It was something that I shared with Edna, something that we had been talking about. And I'll share a bit later on the testimony very briefly, but it was as if I tried to leave it and knew it was gray and it wasn't ideal, it wasn't perfect. And then all of a sudden, one evening, it just like the lights went on. No, don't want it. This is not my friend. I'm stepping back. This is not Jesus' friend, and neither is it mine. It wasn't a major thing. It's like reading the Huisgenoot. I can tell you, stop reading the Huisgenoot, stop reading the Huisgenoot, stop reading the Huisgenoot. Until one day, Jesus shows you. Stop reading the Huisgenoot. That's just a joke. If you're a journalist, that's just a joke. Please don't write anything about it. And so we've been looking at the new covenant, being an inside-out people, and we said there's a couple of perks of the new covenant. Being one, that he comes and enables us to do it from the inside out. That life comes from the inside, and it's not a whole list of laws and rules that you have to adhere to from the outside. It's not the strenuous burden that you have to perform. And so we said, firstly, there's a sacrifice paid in the new covenant, and I didn't have to pay. That's a pretty good perk. Secondly, God is faithful. Look to your neighbor, check if he's awake, and say, God is faithful. Yeah, you're sounding very self, very assured of that. But here's the thing, it was so beautiful how we just broke open again, and this is it, is that even if we're faithless, even if we miss the mark, God is faithful. He's got the end game. He's got the end game in his hand, and what he needs from you is what? To trust him, be humble. Be humble about it. Say, God, I need you. God, I need you. That's the second thing. And today we're just moving on to a third perk, and that is the new covenant is the covenant of life. Life. Covenant of life. The new covenant is life-giving. If you haven't been here the couple of weeks, what's a covenant again? You can go to the third slide about, I think. I think we might be there already. No, it's then the one before. There we go. In fact, you can go to the one before that. Let us just quickly run through that. What's a covenant again? A covenant is a type of relationship that is shaped by promises made to each other. These promises are held as sacred and binding even to the point of death. So the Lord said, I make agreement with you, not just this flopsy lopsided thing. I make covenant with you and I pay with it with the death of my son. This is for the long haul. This is pretty real and this is pretty cool. And so the three elements that's important is there's promises to and fro between us and God. There's a sacrifice, we've looked at that. And then there's a sign. Like with a wedding that is a covenant, there's a sign. I wear a ring. Likewise, the Spirit upon our lives is a sign that we're in covenant. Now that A, B, C, and D is important to us in that here's where the life of the new covenant lies. It cleanses us from our sins. This morning, before we went into worship, I just had this distinct moment where the Lord says there's sin in the camp. Now, firstly, that's obvious, with all due respect to God. But it's obvious, we're human. But sometimes he just puts his finger upon it. Let's not become blasé with God. He's still a holy God. Sin is still a problem. Yes, Jesus. Yes, grace. Yes, new covenant. But let's deal with it. And here's the beauty of the life of the new covenant. It cleanses us of our sins. We can't hang around in it. We can't camp there. Yes, if you struggle, hey, we're going to love on you. We're going to walk a road. You're going to walk a road with me and love on me because I need it just as much. But we're not going to just wallow and stay and hang around in our sin. We're going to trust the Lord to take us out of it. It's going to purify our conscience. Who's ever had an impure conscience before the Lord? It sucks. It happened to me once. No, I'm just joking. It happened to me twice. But the third thing is, that's a joke as well, obviously. And the third thing is it enables us to serve God. It helps us with the inside-out thing. It gives you life to love on God. It gives you life to follow Him hard. And then the fourth thing is it gives us an eternal inheritance. And sometimes, being so bogged down in our day and age, in this culture we found ourselves in, you don't often think of heaven. Of not everybody is that heavenly minded or eternally minded. But it's a pretty big deal if you lose a loved one. All of a sudden, you start thinking. I know losing my mom last year and going through that thing. All of a sudden, Edna and I had the weirdest conversations. What if, what if, what if? And you're not inviting the enemy. You're not opening up doors. You're just being realistic about life. All of a sudden, you have these. And then I realize, if I break down everything in my life of what I have, the blessing of you guys, the blessing of this church community, the stuff at home, the stuff in my bank account, whatever I have, if I cut down everything to the bone, the only thing I truly have is that lady there at the back is my wife and she's saved. That's it. Those three kids, the last one indirectly until she says, yes, Jesus is saved. That is my riches. And obviously it's important that that you guys are also saved. It's not only part of my job, but it's part of my heart. But you can strip away every single thing. You can take our guitars. Anyway, well done, Pietri. Where is Pietri now? Mother's room. You can take our guitars and you can take for a moment, you can take our drum set. But praise God, you didn't take God. But you hear what I say? Sometimes the Lord can strip you. He can strip you of everything. What do you have? So eternal life is quite kind of a big deal. And it brings our issues, our challenges in great perspective. So I'm a rich man because I believe I've got a saved family. And I trust we're going to stay that way. Thank you, Jesus. Now we can move on to the next one. Thank you so much. Let's quickly look at the covenant of life, this life-giving covenant. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. That life we discussed previously is also called what life? Zoe. Yes. Zoe. I thought that's kids' names. I think somebody's pet's name can be Zoe sometimes. And I've seen somebody call their home Zoe. And so I had no idea until I did a fair bit of research. And this is a beautiful, profound definition of life because it's only God that can give that life, nobody else. It's not something. Firstly, the definition shows us that there's other types of life out there. There's other places where we can look for life. Who's ever looked for life somewhere else than with Zoe? You'll understand what I'm saying just now. But all of us have done that. So what established this new covenant, and the covenant of life? Christ's blood. So who's the life giver, the life source? It's the way, the truth, and the life. Jesus Christ who gives us, or at least was the sacrifice in giving us this new covenant, the covenant of life. And so there I mentioned something that I think about quite often, that is the fallen state dichotomy. The dichotomy is, I've heard somebody else say it, it sounded very smart and I wanted to use it. But it actually means just a contradiction. And here's the fallen state dichotomy or fallen state contradiction of humanity. It's very simple, we are all dying. Sin and death enter the world and without Christ we are all dying. I'm not going to say, can I get an amen to that? But I think we're all on the same page. Slowly but surely, we're all dying. We're all literally dying. This flesh is not going to last forever. Not everybody's going to be wrapped up and swept up to heaven. Some of us might just lay down the physical body. But our true personhood, our spirit man, will go to heaven. And I'm thankful for that. That's the one that's saved in my family that I refer to. But coming back to this dichotomy, this contradiction is that we don't want to die. And we try everything to stay alive. Yet we choose things that leads to death. And that's the contradiction. That's the contradiction of human fallenness. Without Jesus helping, without revelation coming, without the soap and the water washing and helping, saying, Jesus, come bring your word, come and cut. I want to live, Lord. Let me have some poison. I want to live, Lord. Let me drown myself. I want to live, Lord. Let me jump in the fire. And that's, we might laugh at stupid examples like that, but that's sometimes what we do. And so the Holy Spirit, I trust, will be working in me this morning, saying, Retief, this is where you fall for the fallenness of man, dichotomy or contradiction. You think you're going to stay alive. You think you're going to be secure by grabbing to that thing or grabbing hold of that thing. But that thing is actually going to drown you quicker. Now, we can start thinking relationships. We can start thinking substances. We can start thinking whatever the seed and whatever the things are that we take in. We can now start thinking, I want to live, but yet I'm killing myself. Sorry, this sounds a bit dramatic, but I wanted to just knuckle down a point. I think you get it. And so now we're like, Lord, but we don't want this. Who's ever been really thirsty? Who's ever been really thirsty? Come on, work with me. Great. Who's ever had a Coke then? Who's ever had to have another Coke after the first Coke because you're still thirsty? Come on. It's the same with brandy and Coke, by the way, so I've heard. But anyway, that's a topic for another day. But the weirdest thing, I love Coke Zero. And please, no, I'm not going to get cancer. Thank you, Jesus. Now and again, I love Coke Zero. And I'm like, I'll drive to Engine to go buy one and come back home and then have it. And just after that, guess what? I'm thirsty. And I'm like, Jesus, what's wrong with me? I know this is not going to help. I know this is not going to quench my thirst, but man, it's so good. And so we do this in life. You grab hold of that friendship, that relationship, that thing on social media, that thing there, that thing in the dark. You grab hold of these things in the dark, and you're like, man, this is going to give me life. Man, this is going to help. But it's actually part of the contradiction. It can lead to death. And in fact, it can speed up your death. So think Coke Zero, or don't. If I have another cappuccino, Lord, then I will be holy. No, no, no. No amount of cappuccinos or Americanos are going to help us. Where were we? We were trying not to fall into the dichotomy of the fallenness of man, saying that we want to live, but sometimes we kill ourselves with the things we run to. And so we're saying, Holy Spirit, we acknowledge this. We see this. And we realize that the only life-giving one is you. Sorry for running away from you. Help us not to do that. Sorry where I grab hold of sources that is not you. Just help me. Very simply, help me. Now we're going to break that quickly. We're just going to break that open. And out of that, I've seen two things. I've seen man makes rules. We have no... Who loves rules? Who feels safe in rules? We all do. So we have a tendency to get hold of rules. Why do we have rules? It's usually because of that primary thing. We don't want to die. We want to live. We want to be secure as possible. That's usually why we have rules. Why is there rules of aviation? Charles is a pilot and instructor. I think it's a pretty good thing that there is aviation rules. Why? Because in a couple of weeks, we're flying over to Munich, and I want to know that I'm going to get there safe. And I don't have a drunk guy saying, hey, boys, hold my beer. I don't want that. I don't want that pilot. That's why I like rules, because I don't want to die before my time. If my time comes, praise God. Can't wait to see him face to face, but not this month. The point being is we want rules and they help us. Why do we have rules on the road? Why do we get so ticked off for the people that don't keep to the rules? We often have this discussion in lighthearted fashion in our car. But love, they can't hear you. Maar hulle hou nie by die reels nie. Hulle plaas ons in gevaar. Actually, it's probably just my ego being hit by the driving of another vehicle, and then I don't like that at all. But there's rules on the road because we don't want to die. There's rules of aviation. There's rules in your home because you want to keep it sacred. You want a relationship between your kids, you want it kind of stable. That's why we have rules. We have rules in our culture. We want to invest, we want to plan, and there's certain rules where you have to live by and pay taxes. You pay taxes so that other people don't die, and it's part of this whole system. So we're all cool with rules, amen? That's the one thing. So we've got rules and then we've got sources. That's the other one we'll later quickly look at. We've got sources we run to. So we've got rules so that we can live, and then we run to sources so that we can live. And the question is very simply, Lord, which of these ones fall into the dichotomy, the fallenness dichotomy of man? Which of these rules are actually not going to lead to eternal life? Which of these rules, which of these sources, I think might give me life but will not give me life? And Lord, just test my heart. Just test my heart. Where am I grabbing onto something that is not you? Where am I putting rules upon other people, putting rules upon myself that is not leading to Christ-like life, Zoe life? Can we agree with one another that there's a fake life there, that something you think Coke Zero might quench your thirst, but it won't, and then there's living waters. Not that you guys are Coke and you were living waters, but you hear what I'm saying. And then there's living waters that will quench the soul that is eternal, that will give life. And you need to go through the rules in your life and the source and say, God, help me. God, help me. What do I need to chuck? What rules are so actually just killing me? You know what dead religion is? It's rules that will actually kill you because it's rules without Jesus. Why do you not have the Sabbath on the Tuesday? Let me be careful. I don't want to step on toes. But why don't you have the Sabbath on Tuesdays? So people have weird rules. And that's how sects start, by having rules that actually kills. It's rules without Jesus. It leads to nothing. In fact, it just leads to bondage. And so, Holy Spirit, show me, where is the rules in my life that leads to bondage? Now, this is the other thing. In the new covenant, the covenant of life, is there no rules anymore? Woohoo! Don't want to shout too hard, because then I'm going to wake Mila. And then a couple of rules are going to come down on me. Harapi. Is there no rules in the new covenant? The old covenant didn't work. The rules didn't work. So did we just throw it out in our grace? Geen meer reels nie. Ons kan nou lekker van 'n Merwe Jack vertel. Is there no more rules? Yes or no? No more rules. No, there is rules. I mean, hallelujah. Coming from the pilot, you had me nervous there for a moment. Yes, there's still rules. There is still rules. But we look at them now and they're from the inside out. Let's look at Scripture. Romans 8 says the following, the life-giving Spirit. Therefore, no condemnation now exists for those in Christ Jesus, because the Spirit's law of life. The Spirit's law of life. So you have the Mosaic law, the law of Moses gave to Israel. But now you've got this new law that's applicable to all of us. And this law is life-giving. This law of life in Christ Jesus has set you free from the law of sin and death. What the law could not do since it was limited by the flesh, God did. So here's a bunch of rules. You couldn't do it. So now I will enable you by giving you my Spirit. I will come and do it in you to keep the rules. That's the beauty. Doesn't mean that we can sin and just go on as we please now. Absolutely not. The question is, what is the Spirit's law on your heart now? What is the Lord saying through His law in your heart now? He condemns sin in the flesh by sending His own Son in flesh like ours under sin's domain and as a sin offering, in order that the law's requirement, old covenant, would be accomplished in us who do not walk according to the flesh but according to the Spirit. By the by, is there now no condemnation for everybody that believes in Jesus? No. There can be condemnation. Yes? Yes. Why? If you walk by the flesh. Can you be condemned? Yes, you can. If you walk by the flesh. Where will you not be condemned? If you walk by the Spirit. We can maybe do that at another time, but that's very important because that gets thrown around in charismatic circles as if they are sweeties. But it's nonsense. It's nonsense. and it's not scriptural. For those who live according to the flesh think about the things of the flesh. Who's ever thought of the things of the flesh? Great, so there's a battle for the four of us. Yes, there's a battle. But those who live according to the Spirit, about the things of the Spirit. For the mindset of the flesh is death, but the mindset of the Spirit is life and peace. And yeah, I might throw in an ad break. If you're thinking, Lord, should I fast this week? Here's a simple test. Think about the things of the flesh, or think about the things of the Spirit. Again, I'm not telling you what to do. I'm also not insinuating that I know what you have to do. What I want you is to walk in obedience, knowing that you know what God says about it. And if you can honestly look me in the eye and say, hey, Retief, God said, in fact, you should have two meals at a time. I'm like, you go for it, but do it by faith. Otherwise, it is sin. But let us think about the things of the Spirit, not the things of the flesh. What is the things of the law of the Spirit that we obtain? Firstly, the new covenant gives us a sustained life. We all, or many of us, might have been in the world and you had partied hard or you'd done stuff, you partaken in stuff, partook in things that gave you life, so to speak. And then you got born again and it was really as if you were born again. And for the first time, you felt like you were living. Who had that experience? Just like, Lord, I can actually breathe. For me, it was peace. The predominant thing was I had a serious lack of peace, never knew that. Anxiety most of the time, driven by fears. But the moment I got saved and afterwards, the Lord had restored peace. Life for me is peace. I'm not talking about pina coladas and a hangmat. I'm talking about chaos around me. The world is still the world. Brokenness and sinfulness. And I'm not perfect, but man, I know I've got peace with God. That for me is life. That for me is life. Peace. I think that's why we wanted to move to the countryside, to the platteland. We're just so looking for peace. Peace is not found in Malmesbury. Peace is found in Jesus. That's just by the way, if you had any thoughts. Second thing it gives real life. It gives eternal life. It frees us from sin and death. It gives us God's grace, what we cannot do in the flesh. And lastly, the Spirit's law of life leads to His fullness for you. So now we can start doing the math and saying, Lord, how much am I walking in the Spirit? How much am I thinking of the things of the Spirit? How much am I actually applying those rules that you're giving me to my life? You know what? If I struggled with, Holy Spirit, help me now for a good example. I'm going to use smoking, if you don't mind. Guard your heart, but I smoked before. Not like smoking, like smoke. I struggled to quit when I got saved. And trying to do this, trying to do that, don't do this, don't do that. And in other words, the rules came in, not from other people, because there were people full of grace around me and I was loved to bits, but I'm quite hard on myself. So I just wanted to quit. I struggled. And yeah, this might challenge your thinking. But I remember one day, my accountability partner and good friend Hein prayed for me, and he's like, the Lord says He wants to replace it. And He gives you in the Spirit golden apples. And here the childlikeness in all of us needs to stand up. And so literally, He said, just do it for 3 days. Just leave the cigarettes and just whenever you have a craving or feel like it, just fellowship with the Holy Spirit. Connect with God. In other words, like having an apple, like having these golden apples. I'm like, okay, because I really wanted to kick it. And it's an inside-out job. Now I know it, but then it was just like, don't, money. And so I just started to do that. I never ever, to this day, by the grace of God, touched a cigarette again. Remember, this is my conviction. If you're smoking, this is not a condemning thing. This is a testimony, just so that you hear the Lord's heart. And so I had golden apples, and I kept on doing that for quite a while. And then, like 2 years later, all of a sudden, and I know it was a spirit, it'll just hit me, like feeling like, oh, why do I feel like smoking now? And I'll just have an apple. In other words, I'll just fellowship with the Spirit. I'll just move from the flesh to the Spirit. I often say to people, Don't fight the flesh that hard. Rather feed the Holy Spirit. Rather feed yourself, your spirit, by the Holy Spirit. In my case, it was just humbling myself, because it is humbling. Imagine going, putting on Facebook, hey guys, I'm having a cup of golden apples in the spirit. Now, some weirdos will think that's cool and like your post, but others will think, I think you're smoking something stronger than cigarettes. But the bottom line is, the Lord had to come and do it on my inside. And he knew that there was a need, there was a hole that needed to be plugged. And more than being hard and harsh, the Spirit's law was, don't do it, but I'm helping you. And so he does that with us. Just quickly, the message. I hope we've got time. Because there's one or two, not the sermon, the message translation. That was my intro. Welcome to eternity. Because I believe in the message, it puts one of the two of these terms quite good. Please, when you read the message, and specifically this one, I think it's good, but let's stick to the primary translations. But one of the two things are highlighted quite nicely in this one. With the arrival of Jesus the Messiah, that faithful dilemma is resolved. I think our dichotomy gets resolved. Those who enter into Christ being here for us no longer have to live under a continuous low-lying black cloud. So this thing, these sins, this stuff that bogs us down. A new power, I don't like the word power there, but anyway, let's go with it. We know this is not an original translation. A new power is in operation, the Spirit of life in Christ. Look to your neighbor and say, the Spirit of life in Christ. Now do it by the Spirit of life in Christ. Say, the Spirit of life in Christ. Sound awfully lot like flesh there, but we're going to work on it. Like a strong wind has magnificently cleared the air, freeing you from the fated lifetime of brutal tyranny at the hands of sin and death. In other words, the Spirit came to help you. The Spirit came to help me. That's good news. God went for the jugular when he sent his own son. He didn't deal with the problem as something remote and unimportant. In his son, Jesus, he personally took on the human condition, entered the disordered mess. Who's ever found themselves in a disordered mess? Jesus came for your disordered mess of struggling humanity in order to set it right once and for all. The law code, weakened as it always was by fractured human nature, so we can't. We need the help and the grace of God, could never have done that. The law always ended up being used as a band-aid on sin instead of a deep healing of it. How beautiful is that? Sometimes we just put a plaster on. We don't go for the dental. We don't say, Lord, cut this out. We had on Monday night, the Lord saying, I'm coming and I'm first operating and then I'm bringing new birth. But sometimes you need to lie still. You need to say, Lord, cut off that arm. Gouge out that eye. Heal up that wound. Just don't put a band-aid on it of trying to act Christian-like but not having to live it. And now that the law code asked for but we couldn't deliver is accomplished, as we, instead of redoubling our own efforts, simply embrace what the Spirit is doing in us. Simply embrace what the Spirit is doing in us. That sounds very meek and very easy. But who knows, walking, truly walking and living by the Spirit is not the easiest of things. Constant surrender. Constant dependence on God. The world will love, the culture will love, the demonic forces that be would love. Even religious circles would love to give you formulas of where you can just work it out for yourself. Ways and rules that you can just do it. And we constantly want to do. Like, Ritif, what is the right way to fast? Like, how do I do church? What is the right way? What is the right way for your kids? And so we constantly want to do it separate from God. And he says, no, do it relationally. I'm Emmanuel. I have the Spirit, and the Spirit wants to do it with you constantly. I love knowing the future. I love prophecy. But sometimes I realize it's because I actually just want to be in control. Not that I want to be excited about the prophetic as much as I just actually want to know. Because then I can plan better. I can be ready. I feel safer. Now, part of that is not ungodly, but part of that can become selfish. That's a sermon for another day. Moving on. So what we've said to each other, we're going to quickly look at the sources before we wrap this up. What we say to each other is, we want to live, we want to be safe, we want to be secure, we don't want to die. Yet we sometimes have rules and go to sources, life sources, that actually leads to our quicker death, spiritually, emotionally, and sometimes even physically. Lord, make this stop. Because we are a new covenant people, there's certain perks, and the third thing we know is this covenant gives life. So Lord, I want Zoe life. So look at my rules, Lord, look at the sources I run to, and please help me where they're wrong. Help me where they're going to kill me. Help me when I run to people and to things, and even Christian things, that's actually going to kill me and not bring God's life. Lord, show me. So quickly, let us look at these sources. What are the sources that you sometimes run to? Maybe let's look at the scripture before we just open it up quickly to chat through it, because I believe the Holy Spirit will just speak very specifically in our lives. Jeremiah 2:13, we've mentioned this, I think, 2 years back in a sermon, and it really struck me. God says the following in the Old Covenant already, but we know it's applicable for us today. For my people have committed two evils. They have forsaken me. In other words, I'm not trusting God, I'm trusting my money, my influence, my personality, my stupid jokes. I'm just trusting something that's not the Lord, the fountain of living waters, and hewed or made out cisterns, containers, so to speak, for themselves, broken cisterns that cannot hold water. So the Lord just very simply says they're not depending on me anymore. They've gone from me as the source of spring water and living water. And they've gone to other places, other stuff. They've made for themselves containers that cannot even hold water. I don't know if you recall Psalm 135 refers to the people making idols that have eyes that cannot see, making idols of things of mouths that cannot speak, and the people that make them are just like them. Hey, guys, you might think, well, there's other weirdos. No, it's not. Just think of the marketing. Just think of the consumerist ideas. Just think of the products that we fed every day that we have to have. Made those idol-like items that we have, that cannot speak, that cannot comfort us, that cannot fill our hearts, that cannot give us eternal life, yet we have to have it. I had it to Yota Bucky once. Anyway, that's just a joke. And then Jeremiah 17:12, exactly the same, verse 13, O Lord, the hope of Israel, all who forsake you shall be put to shame. Those who turn away from you shall be written in the earth. For they have forsaken the Lord, the fountain of living waters. We've been given this life-giving covenant. It has rules, the Spirit's law of life. It is living waters. We're going to look at John 4. I would have loved to open it up, but I think it's a 3-4-part series where the Samaritan woman and Jesus connected the well. And he just says, hey, but you have had a couple of husbands, haven't you? He says it more tastefully than I just did. Jumping over to water and living water and the fact that once we drink of him, we'll not thirst anymore. And the beautiful parallel there is very simply this. If you've had a couple of relationships thinking that this guy would be it. That guy would be it. No, no, that guy would be it. No, 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 this guy would be it. And none of them were. I am the living waters. And so we're going to look at that story at another stage. But here, we might think, oh, but so often we can get into our jobs and thinking my job will fulfill me. But no, no, no. If I have that new salary, then. If I move countries, then my thirst will be quenched. No, no, no. If I'm friends with the guy at the back of the bus with the cool kids, then. No, 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 no. If I drop the cool kids and I get all with the other kids, no, no, then. No, no, if I can go eat out at that place. If I can go eat out at that place. Or if I have had that perfect red wine of that place. Or, and so you can go on and on and on. And so we create these sources. I took out Edna about the restaurant, so I had to take myself out on the red wine, sorry. But it can be your bicycle, it can be your golf clubs. It can, in fact, be ministry at church as well without Jesus. I say this very subtly, but it can be that as well. So what are the sources in our life and our culture? You don't have to, you can ask for a friend, or you can comment for a friend. What do you think, just quickly, before we wrap this up, What is the sources, the systems that we've created that cannot carry life actually? Hey? Netflix, yes. Unless you watch Faith Like Potatoes for the 12th time. Look here, when we do refer, and I'm going to open it quickly, when we refer to these sources, some of them God can use. Please, I'm not obliged. I'm not called by the Lord to have a BMW X5. I'm not. If you see me with one, question me. But I'm not saying there's not somebody affluent in our church or in our church community that the Lord has blessed and graced to have a BMW X5. But to then go and jump and think everybody should have a BMW X5 is nonsense. All right, because there's some people still dying physically for the kingdom today, and it's God's will. Okay, so it does not promise BMW X5s, but we're not going to judge the guy that does have one. We're going to try not to. Joke, we're not. But it might be 100% permissible within the God's will, but it's relational. It needs to be tested. If Pietri, who I know, is a man that works well with his finances and a good steward, rocks up with a BMW X5 bought on debt, we would have to pray and chat. Unless he says, Retief, I'm now a fulfilled man. Then I know we need to chat. Anyway, what sources are we looking at? What sources, what systems have we created? Maybe I can kick off. The system of social media, I've recently realized again, is one that does not hold water for me. Yes, there's one or two good things, but I've realized it actually leaves me more thirsty most of the time. So it's something I needed to work into my disciplines that I chatted with my wife, my accountability partners. Not a major thing, but I've realized I don't want to run to something that's going to make me more thirsty. So that for me, I'm not saying it's for everybody, but that for me is very applicable in this moment. Quickly, the rest of you, any other systems or sources that we in our culture run to that actually is not Christ, it's not life? Jobs, yes. Jobs, yes and no. I think all of these we can say yes or no. Somebody might have gotten saved by reading a meme, that one guy, 2 years back, ever. But anyway, somebody can get saved by reading a meme. Another guy, it is obedience that he has his job, but not primarily, but secondary, it can be fulfilling. Because God doesn't want you to be bored at your work and say, oh, well, this sucks, that's why I need to be here. No, he wants you to enjoy your job, but firstly, primarily dependent upon him. If you should stand before God and say, Lord, do I have to lose you or lose my job? The answer needs to be quite easy. I know it sounds simple, but obviously, if we're in church. No, go and ask yourself that question. I once had to lose my job or lose my calling. It's not that easy to answer. Anyway, any other sources? Any other sources we'd run to? Yes, Joe. Reputation. Yes. Yes. Other people see you. Fear of man. Yes, absolutely. Feeling better because I got 13 likes. Yes, thank you, Jesus. Must be you. Anybody, anything else? Food. Absolutely, food. Definitely. Food. What was that? Edna's just like, conviction. No. No, she had a moment there. I wasn't sure if she was saying something. But yes, absolutely, food can be. Food can be a source that you run to and it leaves you. It leaves you dry and it leaves you thirsty. Any other source? Hey? Your husband. Especially if you're married to Willem, apparently. Yeah. But you can. That's just tongue-in-cheek, but absolutely. Absolutely. That's soulmate nonsense. Sorry. Let me rephrase this. I don't want to kill dreams today. But if you're thinking that one person is going to connect and fill and sustain you eternally, and it's not Jesus, guess what? Boom, surprise. Not saying that the Lord will not be a massive blessing to you through your husband or through your spouse. He can manifest himself. But ask Edna how Retief is without Jesus. There's words that go through my head that we need to cut out. But I'm not a great guy without Jesus. I'm not a great guy without Jesus. I'm not saying that to sound all spiritual. That is truth. Again, other words come through my mind, but I'm not going to say them now. Likewise, your kids. You can idolize your children thinking that you're going to live out my dream. My booty, jy gaan center wees vir die bokke. You are going to fulfill me and fulfill my dreams. You are going to play the piano like I never could. Or whatever the case may be. And so you can try to, oh, you're going to always stay with Papa. You're just going to always be here. No, that's not Jesus' heart. That's not Jesus' heart. Anyway, so family can, children can, food can, jobs can. Anybody's bank account had that effect on them lately? Yes, absolutely. Yes, it can. Saying, hey, I will give your life. More than a third of people that win the lotto, very soon thereafter have to file for bankruptcy. Who of us, if you wake you up in the middle of the night saying, if you're going to win the lotto, will you be happy or sustained or fulfilled? You'll probably say, yeah, I think so. It's not. Chances are well that is part of the fallenness, dichotomy of man, that you might just eat that stuff, think that it's going to bring life, and it actually kills you. Can the Lord use it and bless you? Yes, absolutely. But He needs to be the primary one. He needs the one source that you're dependent on. He is the way, the truth, and the life. None of these things. We don't take away the jobs. We don't take away the stuff. We don't become all weird for weird's sake. But we just get our focus right. I believe Pietri, when he said, my guitar's not tuned in right. I think it's not that we don't have to have the guitar. It's just, Lord, just tune in our hearts again. Just tune us so that you are the first dependency in my life. Because you know what? I've seen it in my marriage. I've seen it in my home, and I need to work at this with my kids. I don't have that knuckle down. But it takes off a weight of Edna, knowing to know that she doesn't have to be enough. Where does it stand that she's got to be enough? Jesus needs to be my enough. There's no single person out there that will be enough except Christ. Furthermore, she doesn't have to be a mother that is perfect everything for her kids. No. We want them to meet Jesus and tell them. And I tell them, hey guys, and this is not an excuse for making mistakes. I'm just saying, man, I'm so sorry I screwed up. I lost my temper there. I'm so, so sorry. But you know what? God doesn't. I want to be like Him. So in that moment, I'm not saying, hey guys, this is just how I am and I'm the authority figure of this home and this is how it is, because I have those moments. But I come to my senses, I repent, I humble myself, and I say, no, you what? No, you what?
No, you what?
We can't even speak English in this house. You know what? You know what? I didn't reflect Him well. But He's perfect. You know what? I'm temporary. Praise God for you. He's eternally your Father. And so, let's take those two things as we stand, if you don't mind. Just stand with me. If you sense that'll produce life, stand. Let's bring these things to the Lord. And make sure that we're truly dependent upon God and not just napping, but that we living. Anyway, let's pray. Jesus, thank you for joy in the house. Thank you that we can joke, but we also know and we can also sense and feel that your sword is dissecting hearts and it's also convicting us. Thank you, Christ, that you entered in to this world, into our mess, to come and help us, show us how, but also to come and pay the price so that the Spirit can be poured out, so that we can be enabled to do what is right. Lord, thank you for this grace to grow. There's grace to grow. So there's areas that we've been doing it better than we did 10 years back, but there's areas that where we still fall short, but there's grace to grow. Holy Spirit, give us grace to grow. Thank you for the new covenant and the perk of life, that real life comes only from Christ, nothing else, nothing under the sun. The grass is not greener on any other side. The green grass lives inside of you. The greenest grass lives inside of you. The sustaining life giver is inside of you by His Spirit. Life does not come from the outside, but from the inside out. And so, Lord, we come and ask, Lord, if there was a conviction today, Holy Spirit, show us conviction today that you've got rules that if I have this income, or if I'm friends with this person, or if I have this or that or the other, if such rules came up in your spirit and you realize, oh man, I need to lay that down. I want the Spirit's law of life rather. And you just want a simple replacement, or at least ask God to process you, to change your mind, to change your being, on the rules you live by. Just raise your hand so that we can pray. Lord, thank you for these hands. We want rules that lead to Zoe life. Not rules that actually lead to quicker deaths. And so in simplicity, Holy Spirit, will you come and help those who raise their hand and confess and say, Lord, come and throw off the false yoke of rules that is not God. False rules of religion that is not God. False rules of society and culture and the fear of man and anxiety that's not God. We throw them off. And we say, Holy Spirit, will you please, Spirit's law of life, will you please come and manifest yourself deeply and wonderfully in and through our lives. And give us the humility to yield to how you lead. The humility to yield. And then on sources, just quickly, if you realize there's sources that you run to, but when you return, you're actually more thirsty, more hungry than you were before. Just very simply, if there's such sources in your life, people, things, material things, emotional things, just raise your hand that we can just simply lay it down and repent. Very simply. Lord, thank you for, just for moments of conviction. We repent for running to any other source primarily than God Himself, Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit, and the Word. We ask, Lord, come and break our cisterns. If you give God permission to break your cisterns, your false cisterns that cannot keep water, say to Him, Lord, come and break them because I want life. Come and break them, Lord, because I want other people to have life through my life. Come and break our broken cisterns that cannot keep water, and we return to the fountain and we say, Fountain, please feed us. Fountain, please heal the water and the life-giving source to us, so that not only us can live, but our homes and those whose lives we can impact, in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, Amen. Amen.